Hey, you're listening to the Debt-Free CEO podcast, where you'll learn ways to manage your finances in your personal or business life to set you on the path to debt-free and on to financial freedom. I'm Megan, your debt-free finance coach, former high school math teacher, now a debt-free entrepreneur. In 2021, I paid off $53,000 worth of debt in 12 months so that I could walk away from the classroom. Whether you're on the path to debt-free or looking for ways to manage your finances better, you're in the right place. Walking the path to financial freedom doesn't have to be lonely. We're in this together. Hey friends, welcome back to the Debt-Free CEO podcast. Today, I have one of my very good friends, Jamie, with us today to chat all the things. Literally, she is a corporate leader and baddie in her company. She is a entrepreneur. I want to say probably multi-entrepreneur. She is a multi-passionate woman, hardworking woman. And so I'm so excited that she is going to be on today to share her story and her financial journey through all of these different walks of life.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So go ahead and get us started, Jamie, and tell us and tell, I guess, our listeners about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with my husband because he's one of the favorite pieces of my life. But I've been with my husband for almost 10 years and we have two cutie dogs. We live partial city, partial countryside. And as far as myself, I'm just a super multi-passionate person. But I think as you'll listen, you'll hear that it's multi-passionate, but there are some like root things or like common threads that bring it all together. Common ground, if you will, to my passions. And so I have a heart for holistic lifestyle. And I just have a big commitment to kind of helping other people pursue the best version of themselves. And if you're listening to this and you're my friend, then you know I'm going to hold you to the thing you said you wanted to do. And I'm going to ask the hard questions because it's going to encourage you to unlock your full potential. So I truly believe just, you know, in the power of connections and just female community. Megan and I met through social media first before even becoming friends. So there's a testimony to that. And I'm just on a continual journey of, you know, well-being, financial empowerment, and personal development. So it's a little about me.
Oh, you said so many good things. And I know we're going to get into it, but your story is so powerful on the health and holistic side of things, but also on the financial side of things. And so, you know, whatever you choose to dive into today for the audience to hear, I know it's going to be impactful for them. And I know they're going to have so many good nuggets and so many good takeaways. And maybe they can even relate to a thing or two that you say. So you do have your hand in a lot of different buckets. So start off with, what is your normal 9-to-5? And, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my J-O-B, I am an accounting analyst for the world's largest travel nurse staffing company, and I absolutely love it. I have definitely had seasons of toxic corporate jobs, and I've had seasons of no corporate jobs. And so I can say that I actively choose daily to stay in my current corporate job because I genuinely enjoy it, the people, and I also enjoy the purpose and the mission that I have there, just of, you know, uplifting and just impacting other people there. So
I love that. I love that so much. So along with that, you also have a couple of different side jobs and side hustles and entrepreneur type jobs that you do. So tell us what and how many of those things you're involved in.
Everyone always like asks me
the loaded question.
How do you do it all? Right. And the question or the answer to that question is just that it's my heart, I guess, and that I genuinely enjoy all of it and I make space for all of it. And, you know, people say side hustles and obviously there's a time and a place and a season for hustling, but I very much focus on work-life balance and side hustle life balance and just all of that. But specifically talking on these side hustles. So first and foremost, I am a wellness consultant with Arbonne. And Arbonne, for those of you that don't know, is a holistic company that offers sustainable wealth tied to sustainable non-toxic staples. So think anything from toothpaste, deodorant to your nutrition, like your greens and your protein, but also things like makeup and hair care. And so I've been with Arbonne I've been serving my clients for 5 years, which blows my mind to say, and I love every single second of helping people kind of make swaps to non-toxic options. And I always joke and say that Arbonne is a personal growth company disguised as a health and wellness business, because no matter the person, whether you're a client or a business partner, just the amount of growth and confidence and feel goods that you walk away with are life changing. So that is first and foremost. Secondly, I have a brand with Megan, our host here today, the DFW Networking Babes. So Megan and I actually, I said this earlier, we met through social media and became great friends. And it was through that notion that we realized that the number of small business owners and creatives and entrepreneurs that need a community. And so we created a space where women can get together, network, uplift themselves, but also get their cups filled at the same time. And then lastly, probably not lastly, let's be real, it's me. I'll probably take on way more than this. But lastly, right now, anyways, is I take on clients from time to time for social media content, graphic design, because those are also passions of mine as well.
And she's actually missing out on one. She does one other one that is, it's kind of a side hustle kind of a job, but she also hosts like bi-monthly vendor events for people in the area to kind of come to like do little shop small things. So she has her plate full. She mentioned something earlier about people asking her how she does it all. And she spoke on, you know, it's my heart, and you find the time for the things that you're passionate about and the things that you love. And so we're not saying that you need to overwork yourself, because we do believe in that balance. But also, if it's something that you're wanting to, you know, pursue and be successful at, it's going to take hard work and dedication. And so she is a testament to that. And that is why, you know, from the outsider looking in, it may be like, wow, you have so much going on, I would be overwhelmed. But she doesn't feel overwhelmed. She loves every single thing that her, you know, her name and her brand is involved in, and it has worked out well for her. So you kind of already started telling us about how you got started in business, but how did you get started with like the social media management, not management, but social media graphics? Because you do kind of, you do freelance work on the side. It's just, freelancing is so weird because it's so general and so vague. So many people are doing it and they don't even realize they're quote unquote doing freelancing. And so how did you get even started in creating graphics and content creation for other people?
Yeah, I honestly will be honest, people come to me. So I think that it is because I show up for myself and I show up for my social media and I show up for my other brands and my businesses that I catch people's eyes. And so I think that's a little tidbit for you, is showing up for you and your passions and your businesses. You never know what other opportunities that can unlock for you.
That's so true. Because as business owners, you're often see and hear like, well, my business gets put to the back burner because I'm worried about, you know, my clients or who I serve. But all of the successful people in business, the number one thing I hear across the board is that they put their business first before everybody else. And I am constantly seeing them have the most success. And I'm still striving to get to that point. But I'm so envious of those people because it clearly works. And so if, you know, business owners will just take that a little additional extra time and focus and do that, it can be so impactful. Because look at you, your testimony is literally you have gotten more, you know, clients and exposure because of just the stuff that you've done for your own brand, for Arbonne, for the DFW Business Babes, for the Shop Small events. I mean, people see that and they're like, okay, wow, I'm jealous. I want that. Can you do this for me? So that's awesome.
I think the same goes kind of for everything in your life. Like you, the saying is like, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And so that's in your marriage or relationship, that's in your household or with your kids, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, if you are not putting yourself and your goals and your dreams first, then everything else will crumble.
Oh, okay then. Hitting them hard there. So go ahead and just give us a summary or a little walkthrough of your financial journey so that the listeners can kind of understand, you know, where you've come from, where you've been, and where you're going, like beginning, middle, end, I guess.
Yeah. Let me know if I miss anything, but I think from the outside looking in at the current place I'm in life, and you guys, I hope that y'all hear my heart today and just know that nothing is said to impress upon you, but just, or not to impress you, but to impress upon you what you can do in your life. And I think a common mistake of looking at me where I am right now is that I either come from money or, you know, things have been handed to me. And I want to just say that that's definitely not been the case for me. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is not, that's not been my story and my journey. when I met my husband almost 10 years ago, my bank account was negative and rent was due that weekend. So just to give you a little bit of a picture of where I come from, the other day I joked to my mom that I really wish I came from old wealth, like generational wealth, but we don't, unfortunately. And so I have had to work really hard for everything that I currently have. But just to give you a few ideas, I was super, super tired of being afraid that my card was going to decline for basic things like groceries and toothpaste, et cetera. And so I just decided to make a shift in my life. And so the first thing that I did was I paid for my college cash. And the way that I did that is I set up the payment plan and then I started picking up shifts at a restaurant. The week my payment was due, I would do it again, even though it was so much hard work. I would pick up crazy shifts and I would go and take all of my ones, fives, 20s, et cetera, in cash and pay my college cash, you guys. And so that set me up for obviously success of not having to later pay off those loans. So I went from kind of having a negative bank account to now every month I have extra that I'm able to give back to others. And, you know, I think we'll talk about, you know, kind of bigger investments and things as we get into this, but investments, you know, building our home, you know, we sponsor church camp fees and et cetera, et cetera. We're almost completely debt free. So that's just a little high level overview, I guess.
Oh my gosh, paid for your college in cash. That is such a dream. How many hours a week did you work at the restaurant? And because you probably took a full course load with school too. So how did that look?
Yeah, so it looked busy. That's what it looked like. But like we talked about earlier, just like that was a priority for me. And so I made it happen. I would usually pick up 5 shifts back to back. So that looks like 2 full days. So doubles back to back and then 1 shift right after that. So 5 back to back shifts. No, not at all. Especially, you know, restaurant.
Was it bartending or just serving?
Both. Yeah. Restaurant industry, it's, you know, usually insane cash tips. So it was definitely a blessing in that season for me.
Yeah. If you're in the right area, and I know bartenders probably make a little more too. If you're in the right area and you're good at what you do, then it can be, you know, really successful. So that's awesome. I love that. Okay. So you have been with Arbonne for 5 years. That was, you know, post-graduation. Now you're in the corporate world, et cetera. So I guess post-graduation really was when you started leveraging additional streams of income. So talk about that. How have you leveraged that and what has it done for you?
Yeah. So I use and have used, still use, did use additional streams of income as just that. They were additional. And so, you know, so often you hear, you know, like you can replace your current income with XYZ, and you definitely can. And I've had seasons where I've walked away from jobs with additional streams of income. I've had seasons where, you know, I haven't had to take a job because of additional streams of income. But I typically use it as an and not an either or. So it's usually an and alongside for me and not an either or for me. And that is how I leverage it. And that's not for everyone, but that's what I'm doing in this season. And maybe next season, it won't be. Maybe it'll be a replacement season for me. But right now, and in seasons past, it's been an and. And so I've leveraged it to put us where we are now. So building our house, and we put a substantial down payment on our house that most people would not have been able to put. You know, I've paid off certain debts, loans, credit cards in cash, just because invested in regular old things and invested in some really big things. You know, one day I just paid my car off because I was tired of having monthly payments. You know, those are the things, because I've used it as an alongside in an and business and an extra stream of income, that I've been able to leverage and achieve because of that.
I love all of that, because I really think what you are talking about is something that I heavily believe in. I like to call it the secret sauce, or the secret to going debt free, which is having your 9-to-5 and then using those additional streams of income to help you with whatever financial goals you may have. And now, I know you said you're not interested in leaving the corporate world or leaving your 9-to-5 at all, or even, you know, right now in the near future, but that's okay. You don't want to do that. And maybe somebody does, and that's okay too. Then they can do what you said, where they're focusing on their side hustles and their side incomes to help them replace that. And so that is really the secret sauce, living within your means with your 9 to 5 and then using all of your additional money that you're making with your other things to help you pay off debt, to help you put a down payment on your house, to help you walk away from your 9 to 5 if you so choose. For me, that was what I wanted to do, was to get out of the classroom. And so I think you said it perfectly there. So let's talk a little bit about your debt. And, you know, you said you graduated from college student loan free. So after that, what does that look like? Car payment, credit card payments, mortgage, which I don't really count the mortgage as a debt because that's like forever, you know, long, and there's really no point in paying it off. But did y'all ever get yourself into any other type of debt besides cars? And that's it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually, my dog has needed several emergency surgeries in a very short season. And that was a pretty freaking penny. And so that put us in a very large chunk of debt actually last year. And so that is something that we worked really hard to pay off because it all went on credit cards rather than depleting investments or depleting savings. We just threw it on credit cards. And that was a big, big thing that we definitely had to pay off. So yeah.
Oh, and that's so tough too, because they're your fur babies and you love them so much, but dang, they are so expensive when anything happens to them. And whenever they get hurt or have to go to the vet, you like can't walk out of there with at least paying a minimum $500. It's like, okay, what?
Right.
This should not be normal.
And and just for an idea, these were multi-thousands situations. So
That's tough. That's really tough. And it's hard to prepare for those because you never know when those type of situations are going to happen. You know, the vet visits or the shots or whatever, it's like, okay, we can kind of plan for those yearly. But when your dog needs a very special surgery, it's just, it's a punch to the gut, because what are you going to do? You end up just having to pay for it and cough it up, whether you physically have the cash or not. Oh, that's tough. Okay. So I feel like we've kind of, you know, talked a lot about these, but I am curious. I think I might've spoke for you a little bit because I know you on a personal level, but what is your goal with multiple streams of income? Do you see yourself being a corporate baddie forever? You know, long-term, short-term, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So my goal with multiple streams of income is to kind of build this financial fortitude that's like not easily penetratable, if that makes sense, just because I want so much more for my family. I don't want a dog emergency bill to set us back. I don't want, you know, a few car troubles to set us back. I don't want a layoff to set us back. Like, I want this financial wall and fortitude that's not easily penetratable. And that does take sacrifice. That does take hard work. That does take, you know, having certain priorities in line, right? And so that is my overall goal. And do I see myself being a corporate baddie forever? This is a hard one for me to answer. I think it will be a decision that I make with each season that comes and goes. Is it a necessity? No. If you would have asked me a couple of years ago, I would have said, I hate corporate America. I'm never going back. You know, I was loving the fact that I, you know, didn't have it anymore. But currently, I love my 9 to 5 and I'm grateful for the additional stream of income. And so for now, I don't see myself leaving. I see me continue to use it to impact other people, to impact me, and to continue to build that financial fortitude that I am kind of seeking.
And you touched on some really important topics when you spoke about your goal with multiple streams of income. And I want to ask a little further on this because I know people deal with this often. And so didn't your husband get laid off around the 2020 year or after the 2020 year?
So actually I did.
It was okay.
Yeah. So I had walked away. So we didn't touch on this, but whenever I first started my Arbonne business, I was working like 50 plus hours in accounting by day. I was bartending by night. And I was like, oh, you know, I think I want to add Arbonne to my plate as a short-term sacrifice to hopefully make up some space or get, you know, clear some space, give me some extra choices down the line. Short-term sacrifice, long-term reward. Little did I know I was going to get extremely ill and that I was going to have to take two leaves of absences, right, from both of those jobs. And so I only had Arbonne. It was my only choice. I had to make it work, and it obviously did, or else I wouldn't still be with it. So I was able to walk away from those. And then I was recruited for another job and was like, oh, I'll take it. And then got laid off. And I got laid off, you guys, 10 days after closing on our house. And so that is a serious, like, throat punch right there. Gut punch, throat punch, all of the above. Like, it was terrifying. But because I had prepared for impact when impact hit, I was able to pivot. I was able to, you know, be okay. And so, yes, during that layoff season, I did not work for a year. And because I had prepared for impact, I was able to be very, very, very choosy on when I went back and how I went back and what job I accepted. And so that is just like a small little tip. It's just like preparing for impact, right? It's like saying yes to things now, maybe having short-term sacrifices so that you can have long-time reward. You can have those choices and you can be, yeah, ready for a layoff, ready for someone passing away, as scary as that is, ready for a pandemic, ready for et cetera. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So what did that look like? Did that look like you and your husband had like a good nest egg in the savings account, and then you had a little bit of Arbonne income coming in? And so between the two of those things, y'all were still able to live month to month with this new house? Or was it not much in savings, but Arbonne and other income opportunities that you were involved in were, you know, supplementing enough to where you guys were still meeting, you know, ends meet at the end of the month? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I, just because of my nature, I always have a substantial nest egg. That's just who I am. That's what I've built for us. That's what I always want to have for us. And so that is always there, never not there. And then Arbonne has supplemented in certain seasons and has more than supplemented in other seasons. And then again, having those additional things, et cetera, are always a great cushion as well.
Man, that's going to be tough though, closing up in your house and being so excited. And then this big bomb gets dropped. Like, I can't even imagine. That would be so heartbreaking and just so, so tough. Okay, so out of curiosity, because I've shared my story often on this podcast, and so people know about my relationship with my husband and how we do our finances. I am curious, how do you and your husband do your finances? And if you don't want to tell me, you don't have to, that's fine too. But I'm curious, do you guys do everything as one pot, one account, you know, for the most part, and you guys pay everything equal, whatever? Or is it my money is my money, his money is his money? We split everything down the middle. I'm always so curious to see what other couples do, because there's no right or wrong way. I'm just curious to see, you know, how other people make it work and how it works for them.
Yeah. So we don't do one pot. We have two separate bank accounts. I have, I think, three savings accounts. It's so crazy. He has a savings account. But at the end of the day, everything is everybody's. We make all decisions together. And we basically have like, okay, you'll take these few bills, you'll take these few bills. So it's not quite down the middle, but it is, you know, it's kind of based on the liquid cash that we both have coming in. So he may have a few more, I may have a few more, et cetera. So it's not split down the middle. And then random things like the lawn, we have lawn care come, you know, every other week. And like, we trade off on that. Like, okay, hey, it's your week. Hey, it's my, you know, little things like that. So it works really, really well for us. We have zero financial arguments. We are in a very good place as far as, you know, those conversations go. So it works super great for us. It has always been that way pre-marriage and marriage.
Good. Yeah. Just having that open line of communication with your spouse when it involves money is so important, because that can be detrimental to a marriage, and that's unfortunate. Okay, so we've talked enough about debt and money and everything. So let's chat about what type of investments you guys have made over the years. / I want to know what things you're interested in investing in and dipping your toes into down the line.
Absolutely. So the biggest investment that I have probably made so far is a couple of years ago, I was able to invest in a commercial apartment building, and we actually get our return on that next year. So I'm like counting down the days. It was about a 3 or 4 year investment. And you guys, I would have never been able to say yes to that opportunity if I would have not said yes to my Arbonne business, because my Arbonne business is actually what paid for that investment. And so it's just one more comment on, like, you know, saying yes to things now because you don't know what's going to fall in your lap later. I definitely say that our home was an investment. We built a brand new home a couple of years ago. And like I said earlier, I was able to put a substantial amount of money towards that house also because of my Arbonne business. You'll see a trend here. Most of my investments were made with Arbonne money. And the value of that house, I mean, days after we closed was like $200,000 more than what we had built it for. And so to me, that's a huge investment, because when we sell, we're going to have a huge return on our house. And so, you know, because I've said yes to Arbonne and additional streams of income, we've been able to, you know, make these kind of bigger investments. But as far as smaller investments, we invest monthly with our really good friend, Corey Duran. He is over at Northwestern Mutual, and he handles our portfolio, and it has all different types of investments. So stocks, life insurances, you name it, he handles that. And again, because we prioritize certain things and additional streams of income, we can have someone do that for us. And we're very fortunate in that.
I love all that.
What am I interested in investing down the line? Boy, that is like, I have, and I'm sure that you guys have gathered this, I have so many passions and so many ideas and all this, all these different things, but I am interested in rental properties, whether it be short-term or long-term. I am interested in kind of the vending machine realm of things. And I am also interested in kind of having a photography studio that photographers come and rent out the space and get to use without having to have their own space. So those are a couple of the things I have just kind of had my eyes on, been researching, thinking about over the last year or two.
That's awesome. I am curious, was this you and your husband's first house together, or did y'all own a home before?
We did have a house before this.
Oh. And you guys sold that, right?
Well, that house was actually, we rented from his mom. So this is our first house that we financed and paid for first.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, that's so exciting. And it really is just a testament to you and your hard work. And I guess just determination of, you know, wanting to set you and your family up for success. Not that our parents did a bad job. They did the very best that they could. But we have seen and we have walked through different, you know, trials and tribulations, so to speak, through our childhood. And we have lived certain experiences that we maybe don't want to live, you know, in our life, and don't want our family and our kids to have to go through. And so I love that you are doing that and making an impact for your family now and for the future. You know, your family will be so appreciative of that. Do you have any like closing advice for somebody that's listening to this episode, and anything that you've like shared about, you know, with debt, investing, your journey or anything?
Yeah. As far as advice, I feel like I kind of already touched on it, but it would definitely be to start now and prepare for impact. And, you know, we've learned, and by we, I mean, me, Megan, let you as the viewers listening have learned, you know, through impact and through layoffs and pandemics and someone passing away, or even, you know, divorces or whatever, there's never a perfect time to say yes and to go all in. And life is always going to happen, and you're always going to be impacted. And so you'll wish that you would have started sooner. And so, you know, right now we're even in a season of impact. You know, on average, Americans need an additional almost $12,000 a year to have the same standard of living. And that's almost an extra $1,000 a month just to get by, right? And so the question for you listening is like, do you have that? Do you have a plan to have that extra $1,000 a month? You know, and so if you're still saying to yourself, oh, when I lose the weight, or when I have more time, or when this or when that, remember that nothing changes if you don't change it. And so you just have to jump in, whatever it is that you've been wanting to do, and just set yourself up for success so that when impact does hit, that you are ready.
So many good points, and such strong advice to end on, because we really, You know, I know nobody wants to work more, but sometimes normal 9-to-5s just don't cut it in the economy that we're currently living in. Even when we went debt-free in 2021, it's not the same economy now in 2024. And so when I'm helping my clients and walking them through certain things, I have to shift and adjust because the market and the economy and everything is just vastly different now that you just have to be prepared. And so, you know, if you do have a traditional 9-to-5 and that's not cutting it, which is going to be most Americans, unfortunately, then what are you doing to help and to supplement on the side? Because you can only adjust your expenses so much. You can only adjust, you know, how much you're spending because you got to eat, you got to have gas to go to work, you got to pay for your rent to live and have a house. So it's just, it's really tough. And $12,000, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. So that's really tough. Okay, where can they connect with you at on social media?
Yeah, so my Instagram is at jamroar93, but I'll spell that out because I have a funky last name. So it's JAMROHR93.
I will have her social media and everything linked in the show notes for you guys to go check her out. But thank you so much, Jamie. This was such a great and impactful podcast, and I can't wait to get feedback from the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yes, of course. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Debt-Free CEO podcast. Make sure you leave us a review and check us out on meganmendez.com. Connect with me on Instagram and Facebook at meganmendez_. In the meantime, happy budgeting. See you next time.